this is also on the poster on the wiki site. we'll see how much.
Hello.
Sorry, was there a question?
Yeah, this is Parviz. Is this the art meeting?
Yeah, this is the architecture meeting. Yes, and there's two topics. One is external controllers, and the other one was the our two thoughts there. And I just chosen to do the external controller first. Is that okay?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
okay. So, Steve, when is the presentation for the architecture proposal?
We limit this one to an hour. Maybe if we finish earlier, we'll start it earlier.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Please continue.
All right. Thank you. All right. So I think Alaa gave some brief background. This was kind of started as an SD-WAN proposal, but we've in the last month or so tried to look at it from a more general perspective. And the first couple of slides, just a little bit of quick background. I think some of this should not be news to anybody who's been kind of in the telecom space. Is this notion of things being organized along network domains. It could be either geographical, administrative, and then within each of those domains, things organized in terms of service domains or layers, kind of this multi-layer, multi-domain concept. And then each service domain is obviously composed of resources, the new world, virtual and or physical, and combinations of those. And those being supported by what we call domain controller, and we'll kind of expand on that notion a little bit, controller kind of in quotes, which essentially manages services provided by those resources. And what we were looking at was, is there kind of a general framework as opposed to looking at each particular point domain or domain controller? Is there, a general way to look at how do we kind of interact or integrate with these kinds of domain systems to provide, typically they tend to be very domain specific point solutions. How do you kind of integrate to provide end-to-end automation for fulfillment and assurance across the different domains? Now, while the concept of multi-layer, multi-domain is not necessarily new, what we are seeing both from a standards open source initiative as well as commercial solutions is there's a lot of effort being put into kind of, call it software defined these domains or layers. So SD, X, whatever. And we've kind of listed in the slide and the following ones, a few of what we see emerging or already somewhat well-defined areas, not just from a standards and open source initiative, but also from deployment perspective. These are kind of some of the areas we see mature. This is not meant to be an exhaustive list, but just as a sampling of a few key areas that we see. The first one is SD-WAN, which you're all quite familiar with. So this actually started more in the commercial realm with a number of vendors providing kind of point SD-WAN solutions. And then in kind of the next slide, we'll touch upon there is now some standard activities particularly relevant is the MEF, which from what I understand, based on the announcement in the last week or so that the ONAP community is actually now has some kind of official collaboration with MEF. The next area is software-defined access. So basically abstract both the particular types of access technologies, whether it's GPON, DSL, or what have you there, and then provide kind of an access connectivity as a service independent of those access types and vendors. And there's activity in ONF, as well as, we're seeing a number of commercial solutions in that space. Another area is software-defined optical. This is basically transport level. Again, there's ONF activities and vendor solutions to provide basically fulfillment assurance, you know, for WDM and other kind of optical domains. So that's kind of on the kind of service domains layers, if you will. Another, as I mentioned earlier, there's also this kind of notion of network domains. And there's a couple of examples that we see. In fact, I had a bunch of discussions with China Telecom folks with respect to geographic and administrative domains. You know, China Telecom is, I understand, organized into regions and provinces, and often these, you know, regions and provinces have autonomous systems managing kind of services within those domains. Similar concept of domains, but from administrative or operating group perspective, you see it. Vodafone, which have, you know, different operating groups like Vodafone UK and Germany. And Vodafone, in fact, has published architectures where they have domain orchestrators and then kind of a corporate level orchestration and management system that has been published. And also they've taken contributions to Etsy along those lines. So in terms of, I kind of alluded to these, and you know, these are all hyperlinked in the presentation, so you can actually go and look at the particular either standards or open source initiatives. So MEF has actually probably the most general architecture they've published with LSO and the Presto interface down into controllers for various domains. They have announced the first release of Presto and an SDK. Again, I think in the last couple of weeks. And they're already doing kind of Hackfest and other activities to test various vendor solutions against this, you know, general standard interface. The more emerging activities with respect to SD-WAN. So, you know, Presto is kind of the general southbound interface. And they have standardized a couple of them right now, but the SD-WAN activity is in progress. So the idea here is to basically have a generic interface between LSO, a lifecycle service orchestration, and the domain controller, in this case, SD-WAN controller underneath. This is kind of work in progress. As far as the software-defined access, there is work in the ONF. It's called the VOLTHA, Virtual OLT abstraction. Today they're targeting GPON, but the next plan is to go to DSL. It's basically to provide a general, I guess, for, you know, fulfillment and assurance for any kind of access, to provide access connectivity as service. Then there's the ONF TAPI interface, which is kind of the transport side, as I mentioned, for, you know, kind of transport controllers. Again, focused on some of the WDM, but, you know, more broadly at any kind of optical domain management.
Hey, Ramesh, this is Raghu. Just for the group, you might want to put a sub-bullet under MEF Presto and say it is an extension of the ONF TAPI interface.
Okay, I wasn't aware of that. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah, actually, Raghu, since you're quite actively involved in the MEF stuff, if you want to add anything else, feel free to.
Sure, will do. The most important point in this slide, at least related to those two bullets, is to say that the ONF TAPI is the goal is to have a generalized model that would then be used for different use cases. And one of them right now is all the Ethernet services, but later on to expand to other aspects as well. But one thing. One thing to be very careful about when referring MEF reference points is it is not a single API service. There could be multiple API services. One of them could be a topology service, another could be a policy service, another could be a notification service, et cetera, et cetera. So you could have multiple API services.
Yeah, absolutely. So actually, if you go to the last...
Also, how does this... can you add some more clarity on how does this map to a cloud instance? So a cloud instance is, for example, an instance of, say, OpenStack, which is managing multiple latency bound, right? Strictly latency bound physical data centers. And we, in fact, had a nice presentation by Dan as part of the multi-cloud workshop during the Paris meeting, where we actually concluded on our point of view, you know, and also followed up, you know, Raghu, you very well know that work, right, around SDN.
So, correct. So the way to think of it, Ranki, if you can go on mute. Okay. The way to think of this is, first of all, the term Presto is just a reference point. And then the second aspect to think about is, you know, what is the model being exchanged? And Ramki, even though you're on mute, I would refer you to the slide that you showed in the Paris meeting where you had the stack and you had the Yang models. So the models that are being exchanged across that Presto interface can be for a variety or different types of services. It could be a base vanilla connectivity model, or it could be the OpenStack instance model, or the, you know, whatever the thingy that we want to manipulate, there can be a generalized model. So the high level answer is you can consider it as a generalized interface. And then the second level of detail is what is the specific model that we want to exchange. In this particular figure, Ramesh is showing SD-WAN controller. In another instance, it could be that yellow box that you showed in your slides, for example, multi-vim controller.
Yeah,
exactly. So the so my question is, what is this is so different, right? So that's what I would like to see, sort of. Like, yeah.
Okay. So
at a high level, it seems. Okay, yeah, this is a Mesto interface, but what is it that is fundamentally different and what we need to do, right? And maybe I can just flash that slide. I mean, this was presented by Dan. I'd be happy to what was presented in the workshop.
Can you rephrase that question, Anki? Can you rephrase?
No, my question is precisely, so what I would like to get to is two things. One is map this to multiple cloud instances. How is it going to look like? Because finally, there is ONAP and there are multiple cloud instances and they need to be managed, right? Correct, at the end of the day, right? And at what level it's going to interface? Then then the next is, so basically we discussed quite a bit of this in the workshop. So how does this all marry together, right? What is different or what is not different, right? I want to get there. So
well, you're kind of jumping the gun there. We're kind of just saying, okay, this is kind of what we see in terms of standard open source and commercial solutions.
No. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is we need to, first is do a mapping exercise, right? So I understand domains, et cetera, but how does it map to, say, a practical deployment at an ONAP? So there is an ONAP instance, and there are several data centers. How does it map to it?
Okay. Can I just to step back a bit here? This part of the presentation, as I understand it, is motivating that ONAP needs to connect to external controllers. I don't think anyone would argue against that.
Right, Brad, and I peeked ahead and I saw that.
I think the question is, in my opinion, there are three different.
I think somebody should. People should go on mute. It's kind of hard to.
Yeah, Ramki, your thing is not muted. Thanks, better. I think, Stefan, there are three levels of integration we are talking about. One is that we have, just like our FC, VFC, and other controllers, the way we define control in ONAP. If I had to have a controller that happens to be some other controller coming from outside world, can we integrate that? That's the third party controller. We did that in release one. If there's a need to integrate other controller, that's one part. But I don't think that's the only scope that Ramesh is talking about here. He's also talking about, I have a complete operational framework. He's talking about federating two instances of ONAP. Let's say I have an ONAP instance doing East China and West China, and they want to talk to each other. How do they talk to each other? That's the second part. It could be that not ONAP, but I have one operational management framework called ONAP, other one called X, and how do they interact with each other, consistent with what MEF has defined the interfaces. So I think those are two very different type of interfaces we need. And the third interface that he talked about is that what happens if I have some other, my internal systems that I need, legacy system that I need to interact with, how do I integrate those? So I think those are three separate problems and need to define the scope for each one and say, how do you want to integrate at each level?
But there's not necessarily, I agree with the first two of the model. I think that those are important.
Exactly.
The last one, those are very important. They have to do with B2B interactions more than anything else. But that last one worries me a little bit, because we have an integration bus. It's called a microservice bus. So for me, it would be interesting to understand how this fits with that. If we're proposing a single solution for everything, then that's a different story.
Just stop in for a second. Sorry, Vimal. Maybe we should let the presentation finish, because we haven't got the proposal on the table yet.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Stephen. But I think it's good discussion. And Vimal, thanks for framing it in the broader context. That was really my intent, that it's not, you know, just kind of a narrow, there is a controller.
Ramesh, I will be happy to work with you to really define the scope and say what we expect in each of those areas, because I think we can't just have one solution addressing all three needs.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you. So, thanks for, I think, clarifying that. So let's kind of go back. But just while we're on the topic, I think, you know, just this is what I think Raghu was talking about. You know, when you kind of peel the onion of that Presto interface, there's actually a bunch of different things that could go on. This is just the kind of SD-WAN example of that. Now, to go back. Okay, so given all of this, we kind of started taking a stab at, okay, so what does this all mean from an ONAP perspective, and what are the requirements? And, you know, we tried to make kind of a generic set of requirements. It's probably possible to make a generic set of requirements, but the set kind of we started with was a little bit more based on particularly how we might implement it. And these were kind of three options, and we'll explore kind of one option one a little bit more detail. So the way we looked at this in the context of like what Vimal was talking about, what we said is kind of there's two systems, and it could turn out, so let's say there's ONAP and then there's the external system. The external system could look like a simple EMS, could look like an SDN controller, or it could be kind of a mini ONAP or maybe even another ONAP, like, you know, but some other framework-based system, right? So depending on the particular domain, what we've seen, at least like in the SD-WAN and some of those, is there's kind of some subset of the ONAP functionality. May not be kind of the full blown, but there is some subset of that. So what we kind of framed it as kind of a master-slave kind of relationship or hierarchical orchestration, if you want to refer it that way, where the external domain system essentially appears as a kind of subtending orchestration system to the ONAP orchestration. So this is kind of what we tried to flesh out a little bit, what this would look like. So this is this kind of high-level view. You have this ONAP system with its components as we know it today. And then you have this domain system below. And we kind of put some generic components there. So we you know, may, depending on the particular domain, it may have some or all of these components. So we have like this basically kind of equivalent ONAP type functionality. There's a domain specific orchestration. There's an analytics piece, manager, which is a provisioning piece, controller, which is SDN kind of controller equivalent, and then something, depending on whether the domain is a physical domain or virtual, there may be a VNF lifecycle management piece. So the way we if you look at the two broad areas, service fulfillment and service assurance, which is what we tried to show here, there's obviously more interactions with other components that we have detailed out in the requirements. But if you start with the main kind of fulfillment piece, so that's kind of driven out of this. So we have the end-to-end service. We have end-to-end operations and end-to-end service, which is defined in ONAP. And that needs to basically say, okay, here are, you know, it's just the end-to-end service. There's some piece parts that are fulfilled by this external domain system. There are other parts that are fulfilled by ONAP native systems. So the way we envision this is there is a particular domain controller adapter, which this service orchestration, in fact, you know, all other components talk to as a proxy to this domain system. And, you know, southbound of this kind of come the standard generic API. So for example, the MEF Presto API is what from southbound. So service orchestration says, here is my, here's a piece of the end-to-end service that this external domain system needs to fulfill, parses that out, sends it to the domain orchestrator. It completes, you know, its portion of the task and comes back to it.
Just one question, or maybe. So don't we view that this slave system offers a service to the ONAP system in a way?
Exactly.
And it has its own assurance, whatever.
Right.
We just assume that assures the service there, and then maybe when you sort of come to the modeling perspective, the service orchestration just treats that as a resource and block in a way.
Or more like a service, Stefan. So to me, this is an operational framework on the top, an operational framework on the bottom. I get a service from the bottom part, and it's more or less black box, but I have some level of integration I define. Just like I have an operator, one has their management framework, call it X, and the other one framework, other operator called Y. I want to get a service from Y. I'm the X, want to get a service from Y, but I also want to see what is the health of my service, telemetry, and some other information so that I can do that.
Can we go back to the previous?
Sorry, I just skipped ahead to this discussion. I can go back. But this is where Stephen, I was just pointing out.
Exactly. I think Vimal, you gave an excellent description. With that said, would really something like a DCAE be an interaction point at all? It's all at a high level. To me, it looks like, because each one is a completely independent operational framework, right? So it's operating probably.
I was going to get to the service assurance piece.
So just to clarify, we have to be very careful. If Ramesh's intent or the team's intent was to focus on the MEF reference point called Presto as an example, that is relevant within an operator's or a provider's domain. If Vimal's example was about AT&T buying from service provider Raghu and operator Raghu, that is a federation between a different administrative domains, if you will. So we have a different interface for that. So we have to be. That's the sonata and interlude horizontal interfaces that you would see in a MEF diagram. That is between two different administrative entities. The Presto interface is where service provider Raghu has three domains, an access core and the SD-WAN and cloud domain. And so it's all within my own operational model that I have subdivided. So that's where you would use the Presto.
That's an excellent point. So that's where I think Vimal was framing. There's probably multiple areas there. So we kind of started out with this piece, which is, you know, within a service provider. So that's why I kind of refer to the.
But isn't this when you're talking about completely different domain control, isn't this sort of referring to the Federation case, or what is exactly depicted here? Is it the Federation care, or is it like within an operator?
Within an operator. That's what is shown here.
Okay, so it's not the Federation. Okay.
Yeah.
Say that again. I'm sure there was a lot of echo on the line.
Yeah, sorry. This line is very.
Ramesh, are you saying, so there were kind of three use cases, right? Two opcos working together. One opco kind of acting as a federation layer across a bunch of others, like different operating domains for Deutsche Telekom for Deutsche Telekom Italia or something, right? And this is related to which case? This is a peer-to-peer communication?
No, this was more like just different domains within the same operator.
Within the same operator. Yeah, so we can view just the comment, and I wanted to understand. So first, it worries me that we have arrows going to individual components except instead of the bus. Because on one hand, we're looking to eliminate point-to-point interfaces in order to make things more scalable and more event streaming like, and then on the other hand, we're saying, oh no, there's still point to point stuff. The second question, I guess, or part two is, we can look at ONAP as a set of domain controllers, a continuum of domain controllers. And so my question is, can we create a cookie cutter pattern that would work well within ONAP?
And just a follow-up on Alex's point, this is exactly sort of our presentation by Dan in the multi-cloud workshop, right, around taking a multi-cloud instance and how we model the SDN hierarchy there. So basically, that was the presentation we did.
Well, it's this is focused entirely on SDN, but I could argue that I may have an ONAP point of management, point of presence, for lack of a better term, that is able to manage a certain portion of an ONAP deployment cloud, right, or cloud deployment. And that may include resource management, network management, all kinds of other capabilities, right? It's more trying to understand what the cookie cutter blocks look like and establish that first, and then figure out how they communicate. Ramke, if you put out go on mute, we'll be able to speak.
Yeah, so kind of very hard to.
So, and the second part is, once we establish the cookie cutter pattern for these points of presence or domain controllers, then how do they get populated with the right functionality in order to do their job, right? And this is where the microservice bus kind of makes sense, because if you use it as a point of integration, then everything becomes plug and play.
Alex, I agree. What I would have used the word externally. So if to me, the Federation could be even the same service provider. Doesn't have to be two separate service providers. If look at the bottom part as one operation framework, the top part is another operation framework, maybe for the same service provider. We want to connect them. Why won't I use external API for ONAP to interact with other operation framework? It has its own cloud infrastructure. It has its own control, its own assurance, its own modeling, and everything that is its parallel universe, like ONAP. I would use external API to have these two frameworks talk together.
But one question there, Vimal. The external API is more for the northbound, right, today?
So what I'm saying is that I want a service from somebody. That's the external API. I want some request to be satisfied. That's the external API. It doesn't. So we need to, and I don't know what Ramesh has in mind, but really need to define what is shared, what is not shared. Are we sharing the cloud, the infrastructure, or not? Are we sharing the design studio or not? What is the visibility? So unless we have
that's the other thing. We tend to draw ONAP diagrams as these big, huge, monolithic chunks.
Yeah.
in is that ONAP needs to assume a more distributed or decentralized modeling management model, where there may be pieces in different parts of or different domains represented within the cloud, but they're not always the same. I mean, we don't need to have everything in one place. We can put the controllers where they need to be, close to the devices or the functions that they manage. And
Coming back to the scenario, if I try, I'm trying to draw some conclusions here. So the bottom one is a domain controller or some technology that we don't really care what it is. It could be ONAP again. It could be something else. And is the assumption there that that part of the network is operated, therefore has its own design and so on, separated to from the top part there? And meaning that in principle you offer a service, and I'll disagree with the female. I would say it's treated as a resource, but we come to that a little bit later. The point here, if I understand, is that we need to be able to connect the alarms and events coming out into the top ONAP somewhere, and we need to be able to put the control in. I think that's the first thing. Do we agree with that? Irrespective of how we do it.
It's the control of the telemetry, yes.
Very good. And if we agree with that, then implicitly there's a proposal here that the telemetry feeds into DCAE. It might feed by the bus, but it feeds into DCAE. Is that correct?
Yeah, Alex, don't take this figure as very literally. This is just showing the information needs to get in there. It doesn't say, yeah, let's bypass the microservice bus and get it directly. So
fair enough.
I didn't want to complicate the picture by...
Can we ask one more question on this then, though? Is the domain orchestrator, let's take the example of a hierarchical of ONAP, right? We're calling out controller Mano, right? But in reality, that could be the service orchestrator of ONAP child to ONAP parent. Are we saying that? When you say Mano in your box down below, you're not just talking about basically, you know, VFC, for example. You're talking about potentially the SO of the child.
Well, right. The SO would be this one, the domain orchestrator.
Okay.
This is kind of the VFC of the domain.
And also, is the scope of the interface only resource orchestration, or also the Mano word is confusing. It is also involving service. What does it exactly mean? What are we trying to accomplish?
So this, forget these particular terms. So if you get into these requirements, I think it'll become clearer. I think it was pretty much Stephen kind of referred to this earlier as well. So let's skip this first requirement, gets to this one, right? So what we're saying is essentially this domain system below, right? It may just be an SDN controller. It may be a full-blown SO and orchestration. It may just be some VNF orchestration, right? But regardless, it's essentially providing a service to ONAP, right? It's kind of a black box. And so what we're saying is this basically comes into SDC as... there's a fragment of service that SDC can use to build other more complex services, combining, you know, kind of parent ONAP services together with this one. Or if you want, you know, just this is the only thing it wants to instantiate, you can do that as well. So essentially, it looks like a service could be, you know, just a VNF. It could be a VNF, PNF, or some combination of, you know, we don't really care.
It's, you want things to be onboarded in terms of, it's almost like you're looking for something that activates something as a service.
Yep, absolutely.
Or a SaaS or a YaaS or something along those lines. Is that true?
Yeah, it's basically, you know, those would be the particular implementations of it, but the way ONAP looks at it is basically there is almost like another ONAP system there, and it's providing, a subset of services that ONAP can use, the parent ONAP can use to build, you know. So just to give you a more concrete example, so let's take like SD-WAN. So SD-WAN is essentially overlay service. And the operator says, I don't want to just offer an overlay service, but I want to combine it with my MPLS VPN services, right? So the SD-WAN controller will just provide the overlay service, the MPLS service would be provided to the parent ONAP and MPLS SDN controllers. And you know, in the SDC, that's where you combine, you kind of provide that composite service, which includes the overlay plus the underlay. And the SD-WAN controller just provides the overlay service, right?
So I like the idea of being able to instantiate something that has components living somewhere else, you know, mm-hmm. not owned by a particular operator specifically or whatnot. But for example, I'm confused about the SDC part. The Tosca templates and what is being modeled in SDC are logical things, right? They're not, they have no notion of the actual, you know, underlying, you know, resources, right? It's a logical.
But in this, you won't tell Alex either. As far as saying it's a service provided by the other domain that you would just treat as a resource the same way we treat any other resource in your service orchestration flow.
Right, that's my point, is that the way you would handle the mapping would be through resource optimization, through service orchestration.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't necessarily onboard it. You would need onboard. But the term onboarding here means something different from what service or VNF onboarding means to SDC, because there we treat those things as software we're going to deploy on top of infrastructure.
But that's let's focus on this R2 for a second, because at some level, I think it kind of makes some sense. And then the question is, what are the implications? I mean, firstly, do we agree that something like this makes sense?
Well, it's inevitable, right? Because they're already, you know, VNFs running on top of Amazon or other functions that are on
yep.
top of other public providers. And so incorporating them into our designs, useful. The question is exactly where does that belong, at the resource level or at the service
level? I think, Srini from Intel, I just have one question here. I think from the perspective of requirements, I don't see any disagreement, but there are multiple options are presented, option one and option two. Option one looks like it is a master slave model. Option two is something similar to what was presented by Ramki and Dan in the multi-cloud architecture forum. I'm just wondering, did you guys do any analysis and the pros and cons between those two approaches?
Well, we haven't seen the other proposal in the architecture subcommittee. That's where we need to bring it.
Yeah, so this one was basically, so we were kind of working along the lines of this master-slave option one. In some of the discussions on the mailing list, as well as we had some offline meetings, these couple of other options came up. We just tabled it. It's not something we have really explored in detail. I have some opinions, but it's not something... really, it's been explored in detail. So we're just tabling it for discussion here. Yeah.
One other thing is that.
So, one thing I would say is we would be happy to get Dan to present in the upcoming meeting, right? I mean, on that, we spent almost like I think an hour, very good discussion in the workshop. But certainly, I mean, we can present in the subcommittee. I posted the slides right there, you know, in the chat. So we can discuss that, spend some time.
How is this different than the use case we have in R1, meaning Volta, for instance? Also, it's integrating with third-party controllers, so, and it's
I think, like Srini pointed out, the critical difference is what level. So this, the option one is like at the service level, whereas the option two, when it comes to multi-cloud, it's the resource level is the level you're interfacing. You're not interfacing at the service level, right? So that's the critical difference. Right.
Yeah, so and that's what we feel. That's why we're kind of looking in that, because that we feel is the most general.
Ramki, the previous question from Avi, I think, was asking about the distinction with respect to the Volte use case, where there was a third-party thingy. Avi, did I understand your question correctly?
Right, it's we can see it as a same requirement, right? We are asking for a different controller, a service. We need a connectivity service, and we are asking a different third-party controller, and I see it very similar along the line of this requirement. Right.
Exactly. Correct. So in that case, it was a connectivity service. In this case, it's an SD-WAN service. In another case,
yes,
it could be a supersonic pigeon service, et cetera. Correct. So.
Can I have that last one?
Say that again, Alex.
I just love to have this. Pigeons, I think they would be the most reliable.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
I'm building a domain controller for that, Alex.
Point of order, we have 15 minutes left for this discussion.
Yeah, I mean, one practical observation I'd just like to make is that option two we kind of already have working in Amsterdam, right?
What's option two again? Can we go back?
Yeah, this is
the idea of having an SDN controller invoking third party controllers. We're already doing
this. Yes, exactly, right. So
this was tabled as, is this kind of a general, or is there some learnings from here could be applied for the general, you know, more service kind of level federation, if you want to call it that we're talking about here, right? So,
So that's sort of like an incumbent.
Exactly.
So it's not and one observation about option one, it's not necessarily a master slave. There's delegation and escalation happening along between those two entities. It always will, right? I mean, the one on top might be the one initiating actions or in response to telemetry produced by the one below, but may also be the case that the one below needs to initiate an action as well. So,
Dan, quick follow up. You seem to distinguish between service versus option one being at the service and option two at the resources. I think that's what I heard. But I would go back to Vimal's slides some time ago. I don't know how long ago, but he had like a slide two in his architecture R2 slide deck where there was this sort of the nested concept of service, a service at the one layer is a resource in another layer, etc. So this discussion that's being considered, I would probably, option one and option two, I would probably frame it in the same problem statement. What you refer to as a resource is a service component in the higher layer visibility, right? So the SDN controller or SDNC is just dealing with the service component of the end-to-end service, or an AppC or a VFC is dealing with the service component, which is in fact a resource, if you will, right, to that higher layer.
In my view, I think, and Ramesh, I think we really need to separate this thing into two or three separate problem statements. If the goal is to say I have a domain-specific controller more in line with what we have in ONAP controller, whether it's for VoLTE, whether it's Volta, the virtual OLTE, or for optical, that's a different, and how do we, as Timothy and Ramki were saying, that we already have a mechanism to control XML controller like that. Everything else is common, SDC, orchestration, the fundamental.
Yep.
That's one part you have to say. The second part is that we have a separate operating environment, whether it's in the same different provider or a different, and it has its own structure. It has own infrastructure resources, it has own orchestration, it has own controller, it has own lifecycle management. And how want to interact with that? We have to define that somewhat differently than to integrate just a controller. I think we need to separate those two very clearly and say, here is a solution for the first one, here is a solution for the second one.
I fully agree with you. I was really trying to address the case where it's a full operational environment. It may not have all the stuff that ONAP has, but whatever, it's a rich set.
By where people are somewhat taking it as the first case, which is to say, I have a called third-party controller for doing overlay, underlay, WAN controller, or I do virtual OLT or virtual your favorite component. That's a different problem than to say I have. Go ahead, Alex.
Yes, I was just going to show this as an example. This is actually presented by AT&T at the Open Compute. So if you look at this top, this is kind of ONAP. I view it. So this one actually has two components. There's an SDN controller. Like, you know, you can think of this as SDNC equivalent. There's an access manager, which is kind of AppC for this particular domain. right? So this is what we're talking about. This, you know, when I draw the line here and look at what is below, it tends to be basically a mini domain specific ONAP system. It's not just, you know, one SDN controller or one VNF manager. It tends to be some subset of those.
Just to, I'm going to sort of do the time.
One thing, guys. Hey, Steve, this is Dean.
Hi, Dean.
One comment real quick on this, if I could. One thing that I think I've been listening to you guys for a while on this topic, and we seem to have not really remembered the clear separation of and distinction of definitions between controller and orchestration. And when you start layering controllers on top of each other, the higher level controllers actually stop acting like a controller and start acting like an orchestrator. Mm-hmm. So the question is, how far do you let this abstraction go before you really just start to put complexity into the business and complexity into the solution in general, where it's no longer tenable? So I think part of the spec needs to include, or part of the definition needs to include, where those boundaries are a little shady, what's the best practice? Hmm. Where, how do we, because part of the problem we're going to have here, I think the dialogue is around, how do you think prepackaged, out-of-the-box solutions and plug them into ONAP versus drive solutions through ONAP for very deliberate multi-VNF solutions? Hmm. And there, I think you're going to find there's a lot of gray matter. That's why this is always a lively discussion. But one of the things I think you have to figure out is, what's the right best practice for this? Because there are lots of shades of gray in the middle there. The definition between the two starts to get murky, where you start layering controllers on top of each other, because they're no longer acting like state managers. They're now acting more like a service level control function, which is really what the larger ONAP architecture is all about. Orchestration being the lead component.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just going to, from a point of order perspective, thanks for the interjection, Dean, sorry for cutting you off, Alex. We have, in order to also allow the other topic, we have like 10 minutes to actually discuss a little bit the next steps on this. Otherwise, we'll get to a point where I'll have to close this off and then we won't get to any next steps. We'll be just sitting there wondering what we should do next. And I don't think that's healthy. I heard a request that says, what we need to do is be very clear on exactly the scenario we are describing. So if you go, if we can go to the, this picture here. So we've got perfect. We've got this domain controller and we've got the, let's say the ONAP on top of that. A few things here. I think we need to be clear on the assumptions, the operating assumptions of this lower part and the operating assumptions of the top part, in order to move to the next steps. I did hear, and I will note, that it seems to make sense that the alarms and telemetry go into DCIE, yes, by the bus, Alex, and we need some way of having the control interface, and we haven't really discussed how that should be there. I heard some level of appreciation for the idea that we can do some service design and creation around this, but there was discussion that came back to the basic assumptions here. So does it make sense that we try to clarify exactly what this scenario is from a business boundary and operational level and draw that and then come back to the requirements?
Absolutely. I have a comment of that. I heard discussions about interfaces. I heard discussions about requirements. I did not hear any discussions about use cases and business value. And I think that's a gap that needs to be closed before we start even discussing architecture. So I would like to see some specific use cases.
Well, we had plenty of discussion on use cases. So this is where it came from.
I actually wanted to provide this feedback, that it actually comes from use case subcommittee and it was identified during last Paris meeting as a high priority functional requirement. So we should discuss, you know, architecture implementation of external controllers, but speaking of use cases and of priority, I think that discussion has already been taken.
would be good to have some context then, because I could look at this and say the problem the business people are trying to address is the feasibility and integratability of all of that. And then do so in a way that does not require changes to the things you're trying to integrate, which is a typical SI integration issue, right? So I get it. But you know, if there's some more specific use cases that actually require this, would be a good time.
Yeah, I don't know if you have Alex time on this call, but I'm happy to provide plenty of examples of use cases.
Yeah, I mean, I know where this is coming from and what this is doing. I've been there myself. It's just that I think we need to be very deliberate and intentional about, you know, where this is going to be used, and then we can judge the merits of this.
Allah.
I think, Stephen, sorry, just one last question. I think just on that, I think it should be, is there some place we can capture the types of use cases where we might need a layering, not just to an external controller, but also layering of orchestrators themselves in terms of a hierarchical of orchestrators? Is there, I can think of many business cases, and we have customers already that are looking for that. So it's just, my question is, you know, basically, is there an area where we can propose use cases or business requirements that may need hierarchical layering, basically, of orchestration, not just controllers?
Mm-hmm. I think the answer to that, in my opinion, is yes. And I would suggest it goes through maybe we can combine with this, but the use case subcommittee has been sort of dealing with the use cases, and I would suggest that might be the appropriate place to start that.
Okay.
Allah, do you disagree with that?
That's fine. So far, we haven't gotten any use case, I think, specifically requesting such an orchestration layering. We can, you know, raise this question explicitly, basically, you know, proactively asking attendants to bring those, but that has never been actually discussed or brought.
What I hear here in this discussion, and this is a little bit what happens when sort of a discussion from one group overflows into another group, the context sort of can get stripped, and was to be very clear about the assumptions. There's a lot of implied assumptions behind this picture, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. But I think we should come back to try to clarify that. I'm sure you've actually discussed this in one form or another inside the use case subcommittee. So I think the action is to try to schedule this again, but with that clarification. I think it might be healthy. I'm not sure when Chris gets to schedule it again, but I think it might be healthy if before this is presented again in the broad context that appears to have lots of interest, that when we have that clarification, maybe Ramesha, we could even think about a bit of an ad hoc call between a number of interested parties in order to, let's say, do the next round of alignment before bringing it back to the entire use case, the architecture.
I'm actually going to exactly suggest that. So there's a smaller subset of interested parties. I'm happy to work with them before we kind of bring it again.
This
back.
Would be, I would love to have an offline discussion maybe again.
So then Ramesha, you will be the point of contact for that?
Yeah.
All right, I'll be interested in participating in that as well.
Yeah, if you could just send me a note if you're interested, try to do a offline.
Just to expand on my comment, there's a very practical reason to set the business context of this. If you go with this idea to every project, they already have this plate totally full. So we need to carve out very practical, very specific, very doable pieces that they can contribute so that you can incrementally get to the point you want to get. Everybody's busy. So we need to have a very clear message. This is exactly what we're looking for. When I see the number of requirements, I'm going to tell you, I guarantee that 90% of the people and projects who see that feel totally overwhelmed, and they wouldn't know where to start. So if there's a practical element that says, this is the roadmap of how we want to integrate and how we're going to align with the efforts that are ongoing right now. So it benefits all of us to have this discussion about use cases.
Yeah, no, just to give you some background again, I think, Stephen, you're running out of time, but I think this is a problem a little bit where we have different discussions in different groups. But this came, it started as a very specific SD-WAN use case and particular needs we had. And then it kind of morphed into, based on the directions for release 2, to focus more on general platform capabilities. Let's not just do something for SD-WAN, but let's think about, you know, what is the broader need or context. So that's why it kind of evolved into this more, you know, what's a general framework as opposed to let's just build an SD-WAN use case.
Right? And I think you can say there's appreciation for that approach.
Absolutely. And I don't think that we should come back to the previous approach, right? So we rather should support some generalized capability than something specific, some specific use case. So I don't think that we should be back now to the use case discussion, actually, on whether it's relevant or not. Because as I see what here, you know, out of the requirements which are listed here, what indeed is applicable and agreed, and what can be applied for the second release.
And we don't have to do everything in release 2. We can say this is the direction we're going, and then we'll do, you know, 3 of this in release 2. And
those of us who missed that discussion in the sub use case subcommittee, could is there a summary of it? Could we at least provide some context rather than shortcutting this and saying, oh, no, whatever's in the past is in the past?
Yeah, no, we can provide that. We can, you know, do it in the offline session, or I can provide some pointers.
Yeah, if you could share it in the list, we'd be much appreciated. If something around the business case, right, what the discussion was and takeaways. If there's something written down, if you could share, that would be great, besides offline.
Okay. I think we have a way forward. I think there's some sort of feedback, and this is the first time this is presented in this with this complete audience. So I think these things usually take 2 times. So there's a little bit of a request for a little bit of an ad hoc work to do as well for even further alignment, and then I think the request is to come back after that alignment there.
Yep, understood. Thanks, Stephen. Thanks to the team. Yeah, if you could just ping me offline, who wants to be part of the separate ad hoc, I'll set up a call.
Very good. Then we have the second topic, and if I go to, it was the further thoughts on the R2, coming back to the R2 architecture. And yeah. Parviz, is that you then?
Yeah. Stephen, due to the traveling schedule of the last couple of weeks, I guess we are still in the process of completing the joint proposal. Is it okay, if VMAL is okay, we can do it next week because of the traveling has been hectic.
Yeah, Stefan, what Parviz is saying is that we are not ready to present it today. We probably do it either next week or the following week.
Okay. But then we have the option to continue this discussion we've been having and leverage the time that we have if people feel that's the case, or we can go to the microservices presentation. I would suggest then, if it's seen as helpful, just a question. Is it useful to actually continue that discussion without the input around the use cases there, to take more discussion around the requirements that haven't been presented?
I leave it to Ramesh, but I think, Ramesh, it might be more fruitful to have a discussion with a small team to clearly articulate the scenario we want to support in this thing. And maybe there are more than one scenarios, and solution might be a separate solution. Each one might require a different solution. So it's up to you. If you want to have a discussion right now, that's fine. But
To add to Vimal's point, thing we need to do as a community, when we are developing architectural framework, the discussion should be focused on architecture. I noticed that in Ramesh's presentation, there was a mention of like OpenFlow. Is that correct?
No, there was no mention of OpenFlow.
I noticed in one of the slides there was a mention of OpenFlow, but we avoid any mention of the protocols and how the interfaces are designed. First, we need to have a very firm framework on the architecture, and that is where at least we are hoping that we can make this proposal ready for next week.
There was no intention to talk about any specific protocols. If it was there somewhere,
yeah, okay.
Just a reference to something. The idea was really to get agreement on, you know, what is the general framework architecture, not get into the bits and bytes of protocols.
My suggestion is that, before we go into any sort of agreement type of discussion, we need the clarification of scenarios, as Vimod was suggesting there, to be clear about that. I think there is the background information there, and we've got actions around that. But maybe it is worth actually bringing up for just quickly allowing you to present the rest of the requirements so that starts some sort of background thinking. So we can actually sort of put all of your work on the table. So maybe if I could give you 15 minutes to just quickly present the rest of the requirements and the motivation. But then if you can just hold the discussion too much, because we know we have to come back on it, then at least I think we have the information on the table at least once.
Yeah, sure. I can do that. So back sharing my screen.
We can see it. Perhaps in order to facilitate this, if there was comments that, hey, this might depend on the scenario, hey, bring them up so that can go, so that can be feedback. But let's not take too much of the technical architectural requirements just now then.
Yeah, and also I'm probably not at this point an expert on all the components of modules, so there may be kind of nuances I'm missing. But yeah, let's just walk through this. So the first one requirement is related to the lifecycle management of the components themselves, just like we deal with the various ONAP components, who's kind of managing, bringing those components up, making, you know, checking whether they're active or not, and you know, potentially also bringing them down. So there's kind of who's managing or how are we managing that. So the first requirement is basically the registration of this. So once it comes up, you know, how does this kind of register in, for example, ESR, and then update the inventory with the information about the controller, because that's what eventually will be used by service orchestration. When it says, okay, I need to fulfill the service, how do I reach that controller? The second one is what I was talking about with respect to lifecycle management, you know, bringing up the controller, monitoring it, and you know, potentially even things like scaling the control itself. You can look at the controller as a VNF that, based on, you know, the monitoring, you may say, okay, maybe I need to add, you know, 5 more instances of this particular controller component. So all of those.
Hey, Ramesh, just to understand, these requirements are assuming that we are going with the master slave model, right? For master slave model to work, what are the requirements?
Yeah, so that's what I said. Requirements for option one.
Oh, I see. Yep. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, I thought we are talking about requirements for these scenarios. Okay. Yep. Got it.
Yeah, I mean, try to write it generically, but you know, I think you have to kind of get into like how exactly it's implemented. So this is with respect to option one. Some of these may apply to the other options, but you know, think of option one in your mind. The next one is, we talked about a little bit, is how is, so this external system or controller is providing a service. So how is that service represented within this, you know, parent or master system? And what we were thinking essentially is, there is a service definition, if you will, and that itself could be a task or template or Yang model that is imported into SDC as a fragment or a complete service itself that SDC can then use as a building block to build other services around. So essentially a way to onboard or import that service into this. And from the SDC perspective, it doesn't care what's inside the service. It's just like, okay, this is providing an SD-WAN service or a VPN service, whatever it is. And I need to kind of understand the external connection points for that, but I don't know or I care about what's actually inside that, because that will be fulfilled and assured by this external system. So the first one is just, how do I import it and how is it represented within the catalog of SDC, if you will.
So question here, do you think any standardization would be practically possible, or do you see this more of custom integration here specifically? Because, you know, as you know, different implementations differ in the way they offer services. What are you thinking here?
Well, I think we see kind of a lot of movement towards, you know, Tosca and Yang kind of models even across the industry. So I think we can use some of those as standard mechanisms to get essentially the service fragment. I'm not sure this is really custom integration work is needed in all cases.
In some cases, Ramki, the examples that you often give about different cloud environments giving various different capabilities, there is no industry body at this point in time that is providing a consolidated, generalized view, if you will, right? But for most other services, connectivity, VNF, or other services, we have players in the industry that are providing standard models.
No, the reason I brought up was, as you know, the VNFs themselves pose a ton of challenges in standardizing the interfaces, just the VNFs. But now we're talking about services offered by the VNFs. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying, you know, how practical it is given where we are. That's all.
Correct. And one of the challenges that I see in our discussion in the architecture committee, especially the previous slides, VNF as an entity should not be in a customer-facing service model, because as Bank of Raghu, I really don't care that I'm buying a VNF or not. I'm buying the behavior of the service, which is I want a firewall service, but I don't care whether it's VNF. But I see some of the slides mention at the top level service node template. And there is a VNF in that, shouldn't be the case.
Which one are you referring to?
Not in this one, in other presentations, but I think if you go back to the bullet, the R2.1.
This one we're talking about resource facing services, not
customer. Correct, but it could be, you know, STC should support definition import of service. That service is the domain service, not the end-to-end service if necessary. Right?
Yeah, so this is basically, what I'm talking about here is this one is providing a service and this gets imported into SDC.
Correct.
As a resource facing service.
And Ramki's question is there a likelihood of having standard service models? And the answer is yes. And there are many.
But, the Bank of Raghu doesn't care about how how the service is managed. The Bank of Raghu just cares about the service is delivered, you know, with the set of in line with the expectations that he has.
Correct. Exactly.
So the SDC defines the logical view of that service, right? You know, it's not about defining the domain controllers and how the hierarchy of those control. It could be, but that's not what we use the SDC for today, right? We're building something more customer facing here rather than resource facing. You're right.
You think it'll be only customer facing? Because I would expect it to have not only the service bought by Bank of Raghu, but also the service components that build that service in order to tell the SO, here is all this, the Tosca model for the entire service, which then...
But Raghu, you have to also go, and this is where I thought that it's important we fully understand. So say, for example, Bank of Raghu gives me something called WAN service, or let's say gives me a service called firewall.
Correct.
I don't know whether you use two VNF or three VNF and each VNF having one or two component and how you deploy them and what kind of cloud. You give me a service called firewall and all I can talk about is a firewall. I have a firewall, it's healthy, it gives me alarm and I can configure firewall.
Correct.
That's one scenario. Or if I have the visibility into Bank of Raghu to say his firewall actually consists of three different VNF. Each VNF maybe has one or two component and I have the visibility in each of those component. That's a different question than the first one to say, you are a service provider. I use it as a black box. I request you get me a service created and my visibility is only at the connection point. And I know whether the connection point is healthy or not healthy. I think we need to very clearly articulate what scenario we are trying to support.
I think that's important too, because I think in one case, the mapping, the matchmaking between what the Bank of Raghu wants to see and the resources that support it, the resources are not going to be visible. In the case of the service providers, there may be a limit to what they can see, but it may be more visible. But in any case, if I say I need a VNF, whether I activate it as a service from some external entity or build it out of what I have on site or in my own cloud environment, that's not what we want to expose. That mapping should remain opaque. Nobody needs to know what we do because it's likely to change over a course of time.
Yeah, I mean, just to give a concrete example here of how I see, because we've been doing this for SD-WAN services for a while now. So on the top here, basically the customer orders an SD-WAN service with an MPLS connection to connect the sites together. So they have two enterprise sites. They want an SD-WAN service. So it comes down from this, you know, OSS system portal here saying, I want SD-WAN service plus the MPLS underlay. So this domain controller, let's say, is an SD-WAN controller. That's what provides the SD-WAN service. And that is
So just to clarify, before you go too far deep into the ONAP stack, right at the top, Bank of Raghu should not be asking for an MPLS underlay. They should either be saying, I want an SD-WAN service with an internet link versus an MPLS VPN service as a combination maybe, but they shouldn't care how that MPLS service is implemented, if you will.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I just said they wanted an MPLS service between
okay, got it. Okay, got it. Okay.
Right. It's coming in here. And then, I'm sorry, Alex.
No, I'm just saying, but you know, let's not discount the fact that there may be some other classification, like I want that to be gold, silver, bronze,
yeah, absolutely,
red, white, and blue. That may distinguish how it's actually fulfilled.
As an abstraction of what is offered from a service in whatever vocabulary it needs for that particular domain,
correct,
together with the SLA.
Correct.
We're talking here about catalog federation, right? We seem to be talking about Tosca and Yang and displaying models, right? But really what you have is, if that child system has a catalog and exposes a service catalog API, which is capabilities that is expressed by that external system, and we have a catalog, obviously, in our own SDC, then it's a case of catalog federation from the external system to the parent system, I suppose.
This is why we need to understand the business use cases a little bit more, because how we...
That's what I was trying to explain a little bit with this example. This is one we see, you know, being rolled out currently, the SD-WAN with MPLS, right? So this catalog essentially has an SD-WAN service and an MPLS service. The SD-WAN service, to the comment earlier, I didn't catch the name, who made the comment, is provided by this SD-WAN controller. The MPLS service is provided by this complex here. Okay.
Yeah. No, sorry, this is Adrian, by the way. Sorry, my name is number. But so I'm just looking at, I know that there's, you know, there's work going on with the external APIs. So I know the example you're giving is for SD-WAN, but I'm even expanding it further, maybe to, you know, what is the ONAPS community, you know, position on layering ONAP itself, for example, if the child was an ONAP.
Yeah, that's the whole point. I don't know when you joined this discussion.
Yeah.
we're kind of going around in circles a little bit here, because we started with SD-WAN, and then we said we didn't want to do something specific to SD-WAN. We want to do something general. That's the discussion. But then we go back, so what is the specific business case we're trying to do? What's the example? So,
Ramesh, maybe go back to the requirements to at least give a walkthrough of those.
Yeah. So I think we're kind of, hopefully this is, you know, I tried to kind of make this specific with that example saying, you know, I tried to do an SD-WAN and MPLS service, but the SD-WAN service is provided with external controller. I want to onboard that service definition from the external controller into SDC. It's kind of a black box saying, okay, this provides the SD-WAN service. I can combine it with MPLS or internet access or whatever I want to do. And you know, a Tosca template, a Yang model of the service could be an option that comes in. And all I care about is kind of the external connection points and what that service provides. And then I should be able to provide lifecycle management of the service. So how do I create that service? How do I update it? How do I scale it, whatever. So that's kind of defined the CRUD operations for that service. And you know, in this case, it's not like I'm blowing up the service and saying, okay, this service actually is 5 VNFs and I need to do 10 things. It could be as simple as, hey, just call these 5 APIs from the external controller in order to create the service. And that's, you know, we'll get into that external controller adapter. That's really what it does, is it gets kind of the create service request and it maps it to those generic APIs for that particular domain system.
Rajesh, sorry, this Parviz. In your requirement, do you intend to separate the controller, the SDN controller requirement and the orchestration requirement, or you're collapsing into one big bucket?
Yes, I'm kind of using the word controller because I don't know what's the other domain manager, maybe is the right term. And the domain manager could just be a simple SDN controller, or it could be, you know, full kind of ONAP with an orchestration. That's what I was trying to show here. It really depends on the particular domain and what it consists of. It could have all of these components, or it could just be an SDN controller. I was not trying to make it specific. I was just saying it's providing a service, right? And
so you think of it as a domain management control point or something along, you know, it's really presenting some set of control capabilities over some boundary, right?
So that's what you kind of define here. So this is the service, and these are the operations you can do against it. It says you can create a service, you can destroy it, you can update it.
Whatever. But my point is more like we don't want to really create a big gap between R1 and R2. Of course, there are proposals coming in on the R2 plus architecture. However, when it comes to requirements, it would be nice to keep our eyes on the forward-looking kind of discussion that we already have R1. We know that there is an SDNC, a global controller. We have the third-party controller. We have the DC controller, gateway controller. These are all the implementation in R1. Now we want to move to R2. Now the question is if there is any major rethinking about the R1 architecture. Of course, we have a proposal. It's not ready for this week. Along those lines, your view, especially from the operator's perspective, that you can bring in requirement, whether it's a common generic requirement or use case specific requirement that you are showing on that picture, like SD-WAN, SD like access, or other use cases that you mentioned. Are you planning to develop a common set of requirement across all use cases for SDN as well as the orchestration layer? Is that your plan?
Yeah, so that's all we were trying to formulate it is, you know, let's not kind of do point solutions for SDX, whatever, right? Today is SDN, tomorrow it's SD access, you know, day after is whatever, right? So trying to kind of distill, you know, what is the essence of what we want to do here potentially to facilitate integration of these SDX domains and implement kind of the general functionality. And then, you know, as part of the use case implementation or showcase, we can say, okay, let's build SD-WAN using these general capabilities that we put in. That was kind of the...
So let me just tell a few words on this. So the original intention is that, yes, we take some requirements from those use cases which I identified as popular and require support, but then we generalize those requirements, you know, speaking of their implementations. And so we provide some generic capabilities which can be applicable to many use cases, not necessarily only to that single one which was brought, but we still showcase some specific use cases by leveraging the functionality that we were able to support.
With all due respect, Alice, some of these requirements are basically suggesting an implementation. Change this component in this way to do this, right? That's not a requirement.
I fully agree. So we need to discuss how we generalize those requirements. I'm not saying whatever, you know, is brought to the table should be taken.
Alex, I kind of... let me take kind of some disagreement with you on that. So what we're trying to do is basically saying, okay, you know, given we want to integrate with these external domain managers, let me use that term, then what we're trying to get to is the next step. So what does it mean in terms of individual projects and modules? What is, set of system requirements for each of those modules. So yes, you have to get to the implementation. Otherwise, it's just a very abstract exercise.
Understood, but yeah. I think this is kind of the we're skipping a level of detail here or a level of specification. I still don't know why it has to be done in this particular way.
Well, that's kind of, I prefaced it saying, I tried to write it in a very general way without any implementation considerations.
What's a requirement? What's an architecture requirement? Is a discussion that could go for quite some time.
Exactly.
I think this comes back a little bit to the scenario question that we know we have to come forward on there.
Yeah. So let me just kind of make. To the original object. We'll make progress through this, and then in the smaller group, let's get some more work done. So moving on, so that's kind of the onboarding part then is like, okay, how do I fulfill the service? So now you have the SDC built a service, which may include some parts which are managed and fulfilled by the external, and some which are done by the OneApp parent, if you will. So the SO essentially now needs to decompose the service template into what's done externally versus what's done native and invoke the appropriate workflows and interact with inventory to figure out, okay, where is that controller? Who do I call? And send that piece part of the service to the external system to fulfill that. That leads us to the external controller adapter. So this is basically what then maps the SO request into the APIs, external APIs. The MEF Presto being kind of one example to then call those external systems to fulfill that portion of the service.
At this point, you're going to be using the controller to create something, right? You're going to create a connection where you're going to create an instance of something that performs a particular function, right? So you're really calling a factory. Now, this is what Ramke and I were kind of talking about before, right? In essence, you're looking to orchestrate the creation of a service but you also be looking for componentry that knows how to build the chunks of the service. That's a resource-centric view of the same thing that we would call a service, but it's very different, right? You're basically saying, how do I register a bunch of factories that know how to create virtualized containers with software inside them and connections between them.
Yep, that's the high level.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you to move on a little bit. I want to give some time to Manoj as well, since we have the opportunity for allowing him to present too. So.
Yep, I will quickly move through. So then on the inventory side, again, to your factory analogy, so you know the various factories kind of know the piece parts in more detail. So the idea is you have a federated inventory where the parent says, okay, I know which factory built the service and it knows all the details. I have some metadata about it. But if you want to know, you know, part XYZ in what this factory built, then you go, you have a pointer in the parent that can then go and talk to that specific service factory and get the details. On the service assurance side, again, the detailed monitoring of the individual the resources for that service is done by the external system, but we want to have some overall view of what is the service health, you know, if the service failed or any faults happened, or you know, some high-level kind of metrics. That was the connection to DCAE that the external system basically provides some of that event back into DCAE, so that now you can look at that piece that was built by the controller, but also you can look at other pieces and then now build end-to-end service assurance view for the whole service and not just the individual factory piece, if you will.
Hey, Rajesh, on the previous one, you have both the design time consideration and run time as well, correct?
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, did you capture both or no?
Yep. The design time was kind of the SDC piece, and then the SO inventory DCE was the kind of runtime piece of it. There's also some, I guess, some design time here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is R7. Yeah.
So let me, I guess, yeah, just stop here, Stephen. I think I've probably taken
more than one item that flashed on the screen, which we do need to think about a little bit more, which is R9.
Yeah, so
this is a controversial thing, because on one hand we're saying ONAP is generic and agnostic of any specific resource use cases. This kind of saying, well, no, it would be somehow 5G aware.
Alex is correct, but I think R9 doesn't belong to this proposal, because this is about external controllers, and this is another.
Yeah, and I don't know why. Just like Alex described, it's a generic platform. People can use it to describe 5G slices or other kind of network slices. Is the concept of service that we already support. So I don't know why we.
If you're interested in the slicing architecture and the use cases related to that, there. Slicing is more generic than 5G, but currently it's been discussed under the meeting series that Vimal is hosting. That's after the TSC. I suggest you join that.
Okay.
No, that hopefully what I expected. I just kind of casually mentioned it here, saying
casually
that you might be interested in domain slices.
Hey, Rajesh. Yeah. Rajesh, the language Ramesh, that you're using.
Not Rajesh.
Ramesh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The language that you're using for requirement, we need to stick to whatever language that is acceptable to the community. When you say should on R7.1, should means is that an option or you want to use shall? That should be consistent throughout all your requirements, correct?
Okay. No, we'll...
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for all the input and the discussion.
Just to highlight on network slicing, that actually our plan is to ask Chris to have a slot during the next architecture call, and again invite different projects and subcommittee, and actually to present a network slicing concept as it discussed by the task force and then by use case subcommittee in general.
Okay. Manoj, I'll let you share. There is 25 minutes. You said 20 minutes might be enough.
Yes, you have a... thanks, Steve. Hope you can hear me.
Yes.
Yeah, 1 second. Let me share the screen. I think you can see the screen.
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a very short presentation. We have just three concepts shared here. So we are mainly focusing on the microservice design aspect, especially in the S3P context. So let me start straight away. So we are starting with the microservice definition because there are different views around on what is a microservice. Some people tend to model a monolith within a microservice, or some people tend to break the monolith into different microservices, or there are different ways of breaking down a component into a microservice. So we took help of one definition that is available from Martin Fowler. So here we are highlighting few key points. So microservices, one in which there will be a suite of small services running in its own process. And what we want to highlight is built around business capabilities and independently deployable, fully automated deployment machinery, bare minimum centralized management, and different programming languages. I think it will be familiar for most of you, what I am highlighting here. So with this definition, I'm moving on to three problem statements that we observed in ONAP. So the first one is related to the meta model. So today, if you look at each microservice, we are using microservice bus for registering the microservice endpoints. And also we rely on DMAP for registering the PubSub mechanism for exchanging messages between microservices. So the first problem statement is that the microservices are built around functional boundaries without any well-set guideline. So what we mean here is here by guideline is that so expressing a microservices capability in terms of what it is providing to ONAP, or how ONAP platform can consume this microservice. So currently it is purely based on the MSB, wherein we can look up for a service, microservice, and register for the microservice. The second problem statement is with definition of microservice itself, basically the boundaries. So we have captured some examples in subsequent slide. Boundaries, what we mean here is that how we can define the boundary of a microservice, whether it can be a functional boundary, or it can be based on layers, or it can be based on the business context, as we highlighted in the previous definition. So there are different ways of looking at microservice. So what is the best way of designing a microservice so that the S3P context can be brought in? The third problem statement is related to the shared concerns. As you know, most of the microservices will have some shared requirement like logging, health check, monitoring metrics, tracing, data persistence, then distributed messaging, like that. So how we can accommodate those shared concerns in a common platform. So these are the three problems that we are highlighting, and some suggestions on how we can handle that. Any questions on this problem statement, or can I move on?
One question on the first problem statement. What is the problem there? I mean, is it the functional boundaries is the right thing to do, right? Or is it, do you suggest something else? I mean, I'm not able to understand the first problem.
Okay, so in last few weeks discussion, we had a couple of discussion around S3P, stability, scalability, security, and performance. So what is the best way of achieving that? So do we need to take a bottom-up approach, or we define an architecture based on performance capabilities and then boil down to individual projects and implement those things? So here, what we are highlighting here is that, so when we delegate S3P to individual projects, what they can start with, or where they can look at first. So my view is that first, it should be looked at the microservice level. So when we are looking at the microservice level, what are the key things that may be required for achieving the S3P performance or S3P non-functional capabilities? So that is the key message that we are trying to highlight here.
Manoj, did you look at the presentations that were done in the last architecture subcommittee when we talked about model-driven microservices and a proposal for a different kind of microservice interconnect?
I think you presented, right, Alex?
Habib was doing a lot of the work presentation as well. But you were there, right? So this.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So you want to make a comment on that, or?
No, I think this is exactly along the lines that we were discussing last time.
But my understanding.
And also another clarification here. The second one, boundary of microservices based on high cohesion. If there is high cohesion, how there is low coupling? I didn't get that part. What exactly are you trying to say?
So there is a basic, this concept came from even the object-oriented programming. So high cohesion here, what we mean is that related capabilities are clubbed into a single microservices. So that microservice doesn't have different types of capabilities within that, so that we can avoid dependencies shared across different other microservices.
I would even argue, by the way, that number one is the problem is even bigger. We tend to create microservices across contribution boundaries. Around contribution boundaries, not even functional boundaries.
Yeah, I agree with you. There are different ways of looking at it. It is subjective. There is no concrete way of defining a microservice. But we are giving some suggestions in subsequent slide based on best practices followed across. So probably the individual project teams, when they define the levels, they can look at these microservice boundaries first and see what are the criteria they need to fix upon. So moving to next slide, the first suggestion we have is related to defining a meta model for microservice. So today it is purely based on a programming model wherein we leverage on the APIs of MSB to register a microservice or use OOM auto registration mechanism. That is one part of the requirement of meta model. The other part is that there may be other requirements I highlighted related to microservice configuration, like logging, the specific URL that we need to share with other microservices. So there are different types of configuration and registration mechanisms. So we are extending that capability to have additional features. Like if we define such a meta model, can we generate a code structure from this meta model itself. For example, if you look at Open Daylight, so in Open Daylight, we defined the meta model using Yang, and using Yang tools, we generate the code structure. So the code, basic skeleton of the code is auto-generated from this meta model, which will take care of registration with, say, DMAP or say registration with MSB and other configuration built into that. So the developer can directly focus on the business logic rather than focusing on how they can interact with the ONAP platform. So it is not a new concept we are sharing here. It is already being used in ONAP across different components. For example, DCAE has similar mechanism wherein we use the Tosca blueprint and deploy services based on that blueprint. So we are trying to extend that to ONAP, most of the components. So there are different ways of defining this meta model. We can use extend or other examples, Maven archetypes. So the first use of this meta model is to develop the code structure automatically. The second use is runtime, wherein this meta model, once it is embedded within the microservice binary, can be read by the deployment framework and deploy this microservice based on the resources required or based on the deployment model it requires. And also it will auto register with other components like MSB or DMAP. So the key message what we are sharing here is that each microservice, if they can define a meta model of what is there or what is required from ONAP, it will be useful to say deploy or generate a consistent structure.
Speaking of Kubernetes, are you also thinking that you would be, deciding on how the containers are going to be packaged in terms of pods and everything? Is that what the thought process is? The full deployment, namespaces.
I am not sure about Kubernetes. I'm not sure about the Kubernetes. There is some echo. So I'm not sure about how Kubernetes uses this concept, but definitely in OOM project, there was some discussion around using the configuration of MSB to auto-register each microservice. So the second suggestion. Is there any question?
Yeah, Manoj, this is Adolfo. Can you go back to the previous slide for a second? So the second bullet, you're talking about a Docker file for deployment. One of the problems we have with ONAP is that ONAP is not an architecture agnostic platform. Every single Docker file and every single microservice I have come across is an Intel-based microservice. How do you propose we make it architecture agnostic to support different processor architectures?
So I'm not saying that it should be a generic meta model. What we are just highlighting here is that whatever we can share across microservice, that should be captured in this meta model so that we can reduce the effort to handle that at a individual microservice level. So if you think there are some platform dependencies, maybe that will be an extension of this meta model, which will be handled by the deployment framework in a different way.
Remember that the processor architecture is baked. If you, for example, if you're talking Dockerfile, the processor architecture is baked into the construction of the container, right? You start with an image, which is, for all intents and purposes, architecture specific. So from the very beginning, we have an architecture specific implementation. So do you have any suggestion of how we can generalize the baking of the containers to for the creation of microservices?
I think containers make abstract away the hardware and the OS. We have a container runtime, and that runtime may be supported on a number of different platforms. And so what you're operating against is the runtime, not the underlying hardware. So the whole point of containers was to bring the line of commoditization higher. So in some cases you may need to have some reliance on specific hardware features, but in general, no. In general, container frameworks are hardware platform agnostic, right? Whether you use Docker or you use Nomad or you use something else, there's always that layer of abstraction in between you and the microservices that you're trying to run, right?
Completely agree. And that's the principle, right? But in practical terms, that's not what we have. I mean, I totally get where you're coming from. But in practical terms, the images that are being used are architecture specific. So my question is, what could we do to generalize, given that this is a proposal to generalize the creation of microservices? All I'm saying, that's a factor we need to take into account. Mm. And if you don't have a solution, we should look for one. That's what I'm saying.
And let's leave that there. I think the point's well made. Manoj, we have 10 minutes. Just from a timing perspective there, I would suggest use 5 minutes to go over the next two, and then I would like to take 5 minutes to discuss the next steps of this, because this topic has come up several times. We need to sort of move from just presenting PowerPoint slides to actually getting some agreed text.
Sure, yeah. So the next suggestion we have is related to defining boundaries. As I discussed in the initial part of the in the slide deck, there are different ways of defining boundaries. So we have captured one example of how it is done in SDC. So looking at the right-hand side diagram, so there are around 5 microservices. There is a front-end, back-end, Elasticsearch, Kibana, and Cassandra. If you look at the back-end, most of the logic is consolidated around that piece. So if you try to bring in this S3P concept, so it will be difficult to break this backend or accommodate this backend microservice, because it does a lot of things. For example, it has Titan Graph, it has SDC processing, catalog management. So how will we scale, for example? How will we scale the catalog management request? How will we scale the SDC processing? So there will be notifications coming around, coming from different components or sharing with different components. How will we scale this microservice? So this is one way of structuring microservices based on functional blocks or layers. So there is a front-end layer, there is a back-end layer, there is a database layer. So our suggestion is that we need to have a relook at the way microservices are structured. So there are some suggestions given here how we can structure it. Basically, what part of the microservices change very frequently. For example, SDC model is changed for every use case. Other example is policy configuration. Then it can be based on the programming language. For example, VFC has multiple types of programs used across different microservices. Then transaction across microservices, how frequently a particular microservice receives messages. It can also be based on security isolation. So what we are highlighting here is that definitely we need to look at microservices beyond the functional layering. As it is done, for example, in SDC. The third suggestion we have is related to having a platform layer. I think this discussion has come up in different forums. There was also a project suggestion in the initial part of ONAP for a common framework. So we are bringing up that concept in a different way. If you look at different cloud platforms as infrastructure layer or IaaS, is it possible to have a PaaS on top of this infrastructure layer so that the common concerns can be delegated to the PaaS layer, and also the S3P requirements to some extent can be handled by the PaaS layer. So there are other aspects to this as well. For example, if microservices want to share that database or store the state of the microservices, we can leverage on the PaaS database or data store already available. So there are PaaS platforms with built-in database. Is there any question?
No.
So just one comment at the last. So this is one of the long-term charter items for the multi-cloud itself, right? Basically how we can provide not just IaaS, could move to PaaS, for sure. So.
No, I'm not just talking about multi-cloud. So this is beyond multi-cloud. To share the common features across microservices into a platform layer. So it is not limited to the mediation to IaaS.
No. Exactly. So that's where we have a long-term charter of PaaS. That's why we like to call it workload. It's a long-term charter, you know. Okay. We're looking at it beyond R2. So, you know.
Yeah. But again, I think what we're describing here is orthogonal to what we do in the multi-cloud space. I think what's being proposed is a general way of restructuring the ONAP functionality, right, into something that is more manageable, more deployable, you know, more stable, I guess, right?
I was only referring to the last slide specifically. Like, yeah, I was just specifying to the PaaS model in the last slide, not other ones. Yeah, not trying to generalize. So that's all.
Okay. I'm going to cut this. Sorry, again, I'm cutting lots of things today. Maybe that's not great. I think we've had this is an interesting presentation that I think would also deserves more time than it has. But I also want to see how we can actually start to sort of capture proposals in a good way. And I was going to suggest that we could create a wiki trail page, or maybe two. One where we, because there's several concepts here. Alex has some interesting one. There's some others floating around that we wish to be able to sort of document and debate a little bit. And when we get alignment, sort of state, okay, this one we think is pretty good, and work with the projects to get and even allow them during the process. So I was going to suggest that we set up two child wiki pages to the architecture on this topic. One for capturing the discussion in motion, where Henry might say that I would like to do it this way, Joe might say I'd like to do it that way, and then you could sort of, we can debate that a little bit and update the text. But when we get to some concrete proposal on this, we bring this into the recommended microservice architecture. Is that something that would gain traction?
I think it's I would agree we need to do that. I would say that a lot of what's being presented over the course of the last few weeks is very complementary.
Yes.
And it's more about harmonizing it all into a single proposal that we can then try to figure out what to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, so we definitely need a track that focuses on that.
And also, Ramki, wanted to mention that from a multi-cloud perspective, I've been looking at these aspects. It's sort of, you know, practically here we are, how we take it forward to R2. So we have some upcoming presentations, so, you know, tying some of these ideas together. in moving forward. So I think then basically then there is a generic proposal versus then how we actually leverage it, right? So I think if you all come together, then that'll be fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, because I want to move so that we actually get something very sort of concrete, crisp, and clear, and allow that to sort of start being developed there. And when we've got lots of presentations, it's hard for people to comment on that. And I thought if we start sort of transforming this onto something that people can comment on.
Stefan, one comment. This is Pravis. You mentioned that you create a wiki page. I wonder if we can, at least at high level, identify the areas for soliciting contribution community. Mm. What are those areas? There are like four bullets for the metadata model. If Manoj, if you go back to that four bullet item, that's the key. Then you can place the existing contribution like Alex or even we had my colleague presented last week a contribution. Can we place those contributions in the right sub item that and Manoj is identifying? Manoj, you identified these three bullet items as a framework, correct? As a metadata model, yeah? Or meta model.
Yes, that is right.
Okay. So
this is one of the solutions, but this cannot exist on its own. There should be underlying framework which supports it.
I buy your point that it's a very good idea to have to agree on the areas where we should solicit input. I think that will be a bit of a discussion there as well. But I think that's a great suggestion too.
I think we should tee that up in a general subcommittee meeting, and kind of talk about that. I think there are themes emerging, right? So let's just acknowledge it and move ahead. Then we can do the detailed work in a separate track.
Mm-hmm. I'll circle back to Chris. I think we're sort of at the top of the hour now, so we need to close this off. But I'll circle this back to Chris as a proposal, and I would assume that either by email or a little bit of airtime next week about exactly the way to do that. But I think it's a good idea where we can go and set something up to capture the discussion and conclusions there. And as you said, Alex, I think that there's areas that the themes that are emerging could relate to those areas there. And of course, it's then be open for people to share their thoughts around that.
One point, I will just finish that. I will just complete this slide also. This slide is to highlight the presentation what Alex had last week. I think Alex, you were showing one registry. We can capture all the objects, basically the domain objects, and individual microservices will work upon those those objects, which will generate notification.
Yes.
Yeah. So this is exactly the way how OpenDaylight has implemented this. Sorry?
No, I was agreeing, yes.
Yes. So this is what we were suggesting last week. We can look at this OpenDaylight, the way they have implemented, but the abstraction layer, what they built, it is built from scratch. So I'm not sure whether that luxury of development is there in ONAP.
Well, but there are ways of getting there incrementally. We discussed this in the modeling subcommittee this morning. There's, again, like I said, we have themes emerging. And I think what we need to do is refine what the proposals look like in the context of those themes or trajectories, whatever you want to call them. We can implement this 20 different ways, but let's refine exactly what we're after in terms of behavior, and then we'll know better. Right, and I think there's a way of handling stuff that's legacy, but we also need to define some concrete methodologies for how we move ahead. If we don't, we're going to be dead.
Yeah, Manoj, is this available on the wiki? Your slides?
Yeah, I will post it in the wiki page.
Okay. guess we are done. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was talking on mute. We're at the top of the hour, so I was going to say I have to thank you for your time today and free you up for your next appointment.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you and goodbye, everyone.